your Sega fix. All you've gotta know is this: there's a podcast that exists for the Sega nerds. Come and get your Sega news and your classic game reviews, and there's fun and features too from the Sega nerds. They've got Chris and they've got Graham, and there's Nathan now and then. It's like hanging with your friends with the Sega nerds. They're not fanboys, but they're nerds. You should listen to
Hello and welcome to the Nerdcast. I'm Chris, the editor of Sega Nerds, and with me today is Graham, my associate editor. Nathan has been fired, and he's soon going to be replaced by another token Asian who's actually going to be paying us to be on the show. I want to say real quick that I want everyone to be sure to tune into the entire show, because at the end of the Nerdcast, we're going to give away two copies of Crush. One for the UK and one for the US. So users in both regions will get one. And we'll also announce who won our Condemned giveaway. So, exciting how's it stuff. Going, Graham?
Yeah, pretty good. How's it for you?
Not too bad. I feel like we've not been around very much lately with the Nerdcast.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, I think. We're laying the side down here.
I know, we're letting our listeners down. There's been so much going on in the past few weeks since we haven't been on the Nerdcast. Last time we had the Nerdcast, I told everyone that I was kicked out of my game room because we were having a child. That's still the case, but we found out we're having twins now. So
yeah.
We're having two kids. One thing I wanted to do, though, is me and my wife have been looking into baby names. We're trying to figure out what we want to name the kids. The hard part in that, though, is usually when you're pregnant, you only have to think of a few names. One, you know, for a boy or a girl. Oh, this, you know, in this case, we're trying to figure out, you know, names for two. But we're actually having to come up with, you know, all these separate names, and we're trying to figure out, you know, what names would go together and this and that. And it's been crazy. I have a couple names that I picked out that I think would go together pretty well. I want to hear what you think about them. But then I also want to open it up to our listeners, and feel free to give me some ideas on what to name them.
I know we could have a competition. They name a baby and they win a baby. How's that?
I don't know if my wife will go for that. Maybe.
Come on, you don't need them.
I think there's I think you can get a few in China though, pretty cheap.
Okay. Well, we can pick one of those up and give them to the prize winner, yeah? That's what I'm saying.
Maybe we'll do that. I'm thinking I'm having twin boys, so all these names are for boys. Our listeners, they can come up with any names they want, though. So here's some names. I want you to tell me what you think.
Okay.
Mario and Luigi. Wario and Waluigi. Dominic and Marcus, you know, for the Gears of War fans out there.
Oh, yeah.
Bimmy and Jimmy. Double Dragon.
Yeah, that's the winner there.
And last but not least, Marcus and Aurelius.
Is that...
Anything about that? Gladiator.
Yeah, Gladiator.
Yeah. those are pretty bad.
Bimmy has to be the winner there.
Bimmy and Jimmy.
Especially if you have girls. That'd be brilliant.
That would be even worse. They'd hate me forever.
Well, that's what the lawyers are for.
Yeah, so like I said, I'm looking for some names. So if you have any ideas, please send those along. Next up, though, a few weeks ago, I had an opportunity to give a media escort to an Australian photojournalist that came to my Air Force base, and he was covering some of the military buildup on the island of Guam. And one thing I noticed immediately was a very bad BO that he had. It was terrible. He seemed like he was a well-dressed guy. He seemed very intelligent, very well-spoken, and he was a great photojournalist. I just didn't understand why the man hadn't bathed. He smelled like he hadn't bathed in weeks, honestly. And Graham, I know that you've gone to Australia a few times for some training to, to be a stuntman, is that correct?
That is correct. Well, I went there once to be a train to be a stuntman.
Okay.
I've only been to Australia once, but I was there for about 6 months. So.
Okay, so you're there. So you had to have known some Australians. Do all Australians have bad BO? That's what I want to know.
No, they don't.
So they actually do. They do bathe regularly there.
Yeah, they. Well, most of them bathe in the sea, but that's still water. No. From my experience, most of them are very attractive and also smell quite nice. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, this guy didn't, and I don't know if you've ever been around the smell of a skunk for an extended period of time, but if you are, after a certain time, your nose will start to burn, and you'll get like a burning sensation in your nose. I kid you not. My nose was burning. I was around this man all day long. He drove in my car. My car literally smelled like him for days. My wife got in the car later on that day and asked me what the smell was. It was that bad. It was incredible. It was something I've never witnessed before. It was something beyond body odor. It was just...
Just out of curiosity, did you mention Sega Nerds to him at all?
No, I did not.
Okay, because it would be quite funny if you told him about it, and he's like, oh, I'll check out this Sega Nerds, and like, find we're trashing him on the
podcast. Oh, yeah, that would be kind of bad. But, yeah, I don't know how many Australian listeners we have here. Of the three listeners, I think most of them are based in UK, and I think we have one listener in the US. That's pretty much what I've been going through, since... We've been away. What's been going on with you, Graham? I think.
Go for it. I did have some very exciting and sexy stories to tell you guys, but I think the time's passed. I'll go on to a different story I was going to tell. Recently, I bought a PSP.
Oh, really? Finally bought a Sony product.
I did.
Yeah. I know you're a Sony hater.
Yeah.
What do you think about the PSP? I think it's a great piece. Of hardware.
Here's the thing, I've never had a problem with the PSP, because I've got those friends who got them, and I've always enjoyed playing on them and stuff, but I opted to buy a Nintendo DS simply because I prefer most of the games on it, because a lot of the games on the PSP I like, but I can't really play for that long. Mm. But the reason why I got it was because I was given a copy of Crush from Sega, which we'll talk about a bit later.
Right.
And so I sort of thought, I've got to get a PSP anyway. They've got loads of games on it that I would like to play. So I went out and got it. And it is a great system. I do love it. I think it's brilliant. I do have issues, though.
Let's hear them.
One thing I really hate is how putting movies on the PSP seems to take ages. I find it takes a long time.
That's something I think is something that you're either doing wrong or you just must have a really shitty computer. Because it takes me maybe 10 to 15 minutes from the time I start encoding a movie to the time it gets onto my PSP and I can start watching it.
I find that amazing because I've spoken to you about this off air and
right.
you've given me links to other software and stuff because I was actually using the official Sony software, which sucks.
It does.
And I tried your stuff out and it's still yours is just as bad, I found.
Really?
And my computer's my computer's pretty fast, I think. It's not top of the range anymore, but it's like 3.4 gigahertz, like 1 gig of RAM and stuff, so it's not like really slow. Really.
Yeah, well, yeah, that should be pretty quick. I don't know.
It was taking me over an hour to encode like an episode of South Park, which is crazy.
Really? Yeah, yeah. Something's going on wrong there. It shouldn't be taking that long. I don't know. I don't know what to say, but it doesn't take me that long.
No. Transferring music's okay. I just literally dumped it on there and it's fine, but I don't know. I'm having issues with that.
Did you see the news story that came out of Kotaku that talked about the new redesigned PSP?
Yeah, I've heard about that. I've also heard claims apparently that's not true, but
Would you get the redesigned PSP or would you just keep your old one?
I'd keep mine because the only thing that I could see that was really good about the new PSP would be the fact that it's meant to have 8 gigabytes built in, of memory, which I thought was a really good idea. But everything else, like they're talking about the battery life and stuff, that's one thing I've noticed about the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
I think the battery life is fine.
I haven't
had a problem with my battery
life. I think it's fine also now.
Yeah, so I heard lots of people going, oh yeah, great new battery life, but mine's been great. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a single problem with it.
Yep.
I've left it on standby for a long time and it's still got like loads of memory battery power on it. But I think I actually got a really good deal with this because with my PSP I actually got 3 free games.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Technically, I've got more like 40 free games in a way. Because I got Tomb Raider Legend, which I actually got to choose all these games, really.
Okay.
I actually wanted Tomb Raider Legends. Anyone who's thinking, oh, Tomb Raider Legends, rubbish, why'd you get that? But that's a game I wanted to play.
Okay.
Capcom Classics or something, Capcom Legends, I think it might be. And Sega Genesis Collection, or Sega Mega
Collection.
Oh,
you said Genesis, all right.
Yeah, well, I know how
we're slowly brainwashing you. So, all in all, you got 40 games, or close to it.
Something like that. Although, to be honest, I'm not enjoying the Capcom collections or the Mega Drive collections as much as I'd hoped.
Really?
Yeah. For some reason, I play on the Mega Drive collection, and I sort of enjoy the games for about 5 minutes and stop. But if I play these games on my Mega Drive, I can play for hours. I don't know what it is. There's something
about
PSP. It doesn't entice me. There's something about it.
Do you think the Capcom collection is... Which one is better, do you think? Sega Genesis or the Capcom?
Definitely the Mega Drive one's 10 times better, yeah.
That's a lot more games.
The Capcom one's got some good games. It's also got some pretty dodgy games. It's got like Street Fighter. It's got Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Champion, and Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, which you don't need. You don't need all three of those, because Champion is pretty much the same as Hyper Fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And the annoying thing is, because it's on a disc-based system, it's got loading between the fights and stuff. And that really bugs me in Street Fighter games.
You'd think that there wouldn't need to be that much loading for...
No, that's the thing. It's not a huge amount of loading between the fights, but it's there. It's, mm-hmm. You will have to wait a few seconds. And that just breaks up the gameplay for me, I find, especially with Street Fighter games.
Yeah.
And most of the other games, I don't find that enjoyable. The thing about the Capcom Classics is that you've got unlimited lives, it seems, and everything.
Oh, is that right?
I played through Mercs, and Mercs is a game I used to love. I played it in the arcade to death, and also on the Mega Drive and stuff, mm-hmm. back when that was released on there. And I was playing it on this, and I could never really complete Mercs on my own. Back in the day, I found it really hard. It took me ages to do it.
Yeah.
But in this, it took me about half an hour, because I had infinite lives. I just ran through it, basically.
Hmm.
So every time I got a game over, I just click okay, continue.
Just keep going.
I'd spawn straight from where I died. So.
Well, maybe that yeah, took a little bit of the fun out for you then.
Yeah, and some of the other games are just I wasn't that impressed with at all. Like have you heard of 1942, 1943, and
the shooters?
Games?
Yes.
Yeah, I people would like love them, but I just didn't enjoy them that much.
I remember liking them quite a bit back in the day, but
maybe back in the day. Mm-hmm. But
maybe they just didn't. They don't fare too well now, huh? Overall, though, you're happy with your purchase?
Yeah. Oh, that's one thing I wanted to say. Actually, Tomb Raider Legends on the PSP is a brilliant game.
Okay.
Absolutely amazing.
I played it on the Xbox 360, but not for the PSP.
I was actually taking that game to work to play in my lunch break. So I just love it. I thought it's such a good game. But yeah, overall. Great system.
Okay.
I do really like it. Never had a huge problem with it, but just the games, there's some games I just don't really find that great on it.
I see.
But yeah, that's my big news.
One thing I want to ask before we move on, though, how's the ass wiping coming along, Graham?
I hate you so much.
Have you tried? I want to ask, have you tried sitting down and wiping since the Nerdcast? Because I tried standing up and doing it, and I just can't do it. It just doesn't work out. I have to.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Sit down.
I'm not going to lie. No, I have tried sitting down. It just, I feel no different.
You feel no different?
I don't feel what's different about it.
Well, the fact that when you stand up, you can't get very good wipage going.
No, I don't know. I'm just finding it's exactly the same, really.
Well, we'll see. Keep trying. Never mind. Yeah, I think it might be something you just have to get used to. Moving on to the newsstand now. Sega's released Crush recently, and I know, Graham, that you were able to get an early copy, like you said before, and get to play the game before any of the other people in the world were able to. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the game?
Not exactly everyone in the world, but yeah. if you haven't read, I did the review of it, in case you didn't know, and I put it up, and I gave it an 8 out of 10, and this game is easily the best PSP game I've played.
Of the four PSP games you've played, it's the best one, right?
Yeah, whatever. I know I only recently got a PSP, but like I said before, I played on all my friends' PSPs. I played quite a few games on them.
Okay.
And this is just I just love this game. It's the perfect handheld game, I'd say.
Yeah.
The one thing I like about handhelds is just to have short games on them. I know some people like to play for ages on them, but, they like the really big games and stuff, but I personally prefer the smaller, quicker games to play, and this is just perfect for that. In case you don't know, it's a puzzle game, but it's sort of like a puzzle cross between a platform game.
Yeah.
And the general idea is that all the puzzles, the levels are like 3D levels of these platforms all scattered around the level, and you've got to pick up these orbs, like marbles, like they look like floating orbs basically, to unlock the level. And to actually collect them, you have to crush the level into 2D and 3D, between the 2D and 3D dimensions, and depending on how you crush it and which angle you crush it from, it opens up new paths and stuff. Yeah.
Because you can actually move the camera around, like to the left, left to the right or on top, and it changes the perspective. And when you crush it, it also changes the way the level crushes as well, right?
Yes, okay. That's right. And also, depending where you stand, like if you're on, say, like you're on a really long platform, and you're standing at one end and you crush, it will look different to how you looks when you stand on the other end of the platform. Even if the camera's in the same angle, it can look different.
Right.
Because the way it crushes, I believe everything. The way it crushes is like it brings the background towards you or something like that, so it always looks slightly different depending on where you're standing.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that, but that's later on you actually find out that you have to do some of the levels like that.
Really? Yeah. I'm probably on the 8th puzzle right now, so I'm not too incredibly far into it. But like you said, it's one of the greatest puzzlers I've played ever. So I'm having a lot of fun with it.
When you hear people talking about it, it sounds really complicated and kind of annoying. But when you play the game, they've got some training levels, and the training levels are so well done that you just can pick up the game straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any problems with the training at all?
No, I didn't. The only thing I thought, though, that is a bit tricky is sometimes when you have to time your jumps from one platform to the other. I thought that because your character doesn't jump very far. And when you really have to time the jumps pretty accurately, because if you don't time it just right, you'll fall. So they don't give you a whole lot of leeway in that regard. But aside from that, I thought the game is very easy to get into. And like you said, the tutorials are very easy to get into. They teach you the crux of the gameplay really quickly to get you into the game. I only stayed in the tutorial maybe 10 minutes and went through a few levels. And it basically showed you what the game was about right there. And, after that, you were able to get into the game. You knew what the game was about. But, I mean, as you progress through the levels, they do get a little bit more complicated. But as you play it, you continue to get better, and you continue to better understand how the gameplay works and how the crushing mechanic plays into the overall game. And and so I think that as it has a very good ramp in difficulty. It doesn't start off extremely hard. It's just they did a really good job with it. I'm impressed by Zoe mode. So
definitely. I don't know if you know, but later on as you progress through the game, you actually get other trainings. They open up new things as you play through the game.
Okay.
Different things that actually start to happen.
I didn't know that.
Pretty cool.
Okay.
But it's that. Essentially, it's the same sort of training process, and it's really easy to get to know. And if I try to explain it to you now, you might be like confused and be like, "What the hell?"
Right.
But when you're doing it, you're like, "Oh my god!" Because you actually sort of have to sit there and play it to actually really fully understand what's going on, I'd say.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to getting into that, though. I'm excited.
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah, this is one of those games that you can't. So far, I haven't got bored of it. Each time I do a level, I think, I'll just do another one, and then I'll do another one and stuff.
Now the one thing that I'm kind of concerned about, what do you think the replay value is going to be in this game? Do you think that it's going to take you so long to beat these levels, and it's going to take you a while to play through the game, that if you were to come back to it in a few weeks after you were to beat it, that it would give you a challenge again just because of the fact that you may not remember exactly how to beat each level? Or do you think it'd be pretty easy to remember how to beat each level, and you can kind of just run through the game again, and it wouldn't have that same fun factor in there?
For me personally, I think I could go back and do the levels, simply because a lot of the time when I'm doing the levels, I actually do it by trial and error. I don't actually really think it all through straight away.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I don't memorise everything I've been doing. So if I went back to levels, I doubt I'd be able to remember how exactly I did it.
Right.
But it is one little touch. That is one sort of thing that this game would lose points on. Really, overall, the replayability isn't as high as you might hope.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've done the main game, though, there is the trophy mode, which is you can throughout the game you can you unlock other things by collecting puzzle pieces and trophies, mm-hmm. which you are hidden throughout the levels. They're on every level, and collecting the trophies will unlock that level in trophy mode. And trophy mode is the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Usually, because because the trophy, it's the way you get trophies. It's like a very hard part of the level to get into, and so you really have to not only find out how to just get to the end of the level to advance onto the next one, you also have to find out how to get to this certain point on a platform to properly crush the level in order to get the trophy. Those are very tough. Early on, like maybe the fifth or sixth level, I was able to get them relatively easy, but after that, I'm having a hard time. I'm having such a hard time to get through the level that I'm happy that I could even get through it, so I kind of just quit.
Oh, really? See, I've been trying to do every single level, collecting every puzzle piece and every trophy. There's been a few that I've missed, but so far I've got most of them, I think.
Yeah.
But have you tried actually doing the trophy mode?
No, I haven't tried that out yet.
Oh my god!
Tell us a little bit about that.
After I played the first few levels, I was thinking, "Yeah, I'm going to try this trophy mode out. Yeah, see how it goes." It took me about 3 hours to do the first level in trophy mode.
Really? Wow!
I just couldn't do it. But okay, trophy mode is exactly the same as normal mode. You've got the same levels and stuff. However, you've got a limited amount of crushes. You have to collect the puzzle piece and the trophy again, and you have a time limit.
That sounds exciting.
The time limit is pretty tight. I can do the levels within the crushes, but the time limit, I'm like literally like a foot away and then the time will run out from the exit. I was just sitting there for ages getting really angry at myself for not being able to do it in time.
Because that's one thing that I like to do is sit there and look at the level. I like to, because if you hold, the left or right trigger, we'll let you rotate the camera around the level, and I'll sit there and do that and just look at the level and see and kind of plan out how my crushes are going to go. I can do that because there's no set time limit, in the level. So if I were to have that, I think I'd be freaking out. I don't know. I don't know how well that's going to work out for me when I try to start doing that, so we'll see.
You just try doing the first trophy level and see. Tell me how long it takes you, because I don't know how long it might not have been 3 hours, but it took me a lot longer than I did in doing the game. When I first played the level originally in the main game, it took like a minute or something,
because mm-hmm.
the first level was so easy.
Yeah.
In trophy mode, it took me so bloody long. But yeah.
I'll have to try that out, though. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. So when you do trophy mode, you have to really have learned the game properly, and you got to be quick on the fingers there. So
okay, what we were able to do after you reviewed the game, after we played the game for a little bit, we were able to interview Paul Mottram, the Zoe Mode senior producer, and he gave us some really great answers. One of which was really interesting to gamers, I think, throughout the industry, not just for Sega, is when he said that they're looking into possibly porting the game over to the Nintendo Wii, the DS, and the PS2. What do you think about that? I think that's pretty exciting to see, Sega and Zoe Mode possibly looking to do that.
Oh, that would be great. I mean, I think this game would be really good on the DS. Just because I think the touchscreen could possibly add something to it, and also just because it's such a great handheld system, I think it should. Such a great handheld game, that I think it should be on every handheld system.
Well, do you think that this is a game that needs to stick to the handhelds, or do you think it could transition well to, say, the Nintendo Wii, or do you think it could find a very good home on the Xbox Live Arcade?
Well, now that is one thing I'm not sure about. Mm-hmm. I think playing this on a home console might not be so good.
Really?
I think puzzle games like this could be fun. I think people would buy it and stuff, but I think overall these games are so much better suited to handhelds, because you can pick them up and play for really quickly, just for like a short burst, and put them down. Whereas if you've got them on like the home console, if you're only playing for like short periods of time, it's not really worth it, I don't think. and you can't take it. Like, the advantage of this is you can, like, go to the toilet and still be playing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, go to the doctor's or whatever and sit in the waiting room. But if it's, like, stuck on, like, the PlayStation 2 or Wii or something, then I don't think it's going to be quite as good. But that said, I think if they were to make it on the Wii, they could try and do something with the Wii controls and try and make it slightly different.
Yeah. There's definitely some... I think there's some unique opportunities that Zoe Mode has with looking into possibly using the Wii or the DS, because the control schemes in both games and the interface with the DS and the Nintendo Wii is so unique, and the game and Crush is a very unique puzzle game as well. I think it could make for some really interesting possibilities with the touch screen and the motion sense, you know, for the Nintendo Wii. As far as the PS2 and the Xbox Live Arcade, yeah, you know, it might do well there, but I think really looking to do those on the Nintendo systems would be pretty interesting, in my opinion, at least.
Definitely.
So we're going to definitely keep a lookout from Zoe Mode and see if those are going to be doing anything pretty soon. I think it's all going to depend, though, on the sales numbers for Crush, which so far I don't think they're very good. We heard from a few people on our forums that they're around 2,000 in, you know, the first few days or for the first week. Nothing official's come down just yet, and we haven't seen it. But those definitely aren't good numbers. I know numbers aren't what Sega had hoped for, but we'll have to see. And do you think if the game doesn't sell well, that Sega and Zoe Mode will look into maybe porting it over to a more popular system, or do you think they'll just say, hey, let's just cut our losses with this one, it was a great game, maybe we'll develop a sequel sometime in the future on a different platform?
Well, I'd like to think that they would port it across like the DS and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the thing about the DS is the user base is very vast compared to PSPs, I'd say. I mean, a lot more younger people and even adults will play on the DS, I find.
Yeah.
And I think the PSP user base is more serious for gamers. Like, it's got most of the games you see on it are more teenager to adult oriented and a bit more serious and stuff. And I think a game like this, it's kind of silly, kind of quirky. And I think the user base on the DS would snap it up really quickly. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the DS has got such a large user base already, the sales figures are so high on it, I reckon it could sell a lot better on it. And I think it'd be very wise of them to actually put it on the DS, whatever.
Yeah, as it stands right now, though, what do you think, looking back several years from now, what do you think people are going to think of Crush? Do you think they're going to look back at it and think it's one of the greatest puzzle games of all time? Will it be just one of those hardcore things that, you know, one of those games just the hardcore gamers love, or what do you think of that?
Whoa. Oh, it's hard to say, because right now, I'd say, with sales figures being quite low, I'd say it's more the hardcore gamers. But if people actually start to buy it, I reckon they would think it'd be one of the better puzzle games of all time, really. I mean,
yeah.
For myself personally, right now, this is my favourite puzzle game I've ever played. I just love it so much. It's just so good. I don't mean what to say.
Yeah, I got to say, I agree with you, Graham. But if you're sitting on the fence and thinking about possibly getting this game, or for thinking, oh, maybe I should just wait until they port it over to the PS2 or the DS or whatever, I really suggest that you don't do that. Buy the game now, because you really need to support Zoe Mode and Sega in doing this, because we really don't get these kind of innovative games very, very often. And it seems like when they do, they don't do very well. And you can look at that. Some of the games do, you know, like Katamari Damacy, what is the other game? Okami. Those games are doing good. But there's, you know, far greater games out there that do, you know, stray off, you know, the beaten path, so to say, and do different things that don't do so well. And as gamers, we always cry and want those kind of games. But when they come out, it seems like we don't support them. And you see the games like the Maddens or the, or Halo or whatever, you know, that always come and sell billions of copies.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is just go out and buy this game, because it's definitely going to be one of the best games you've played on the PSP. And I just really strongly suggest that you support Zoe Mode, because I'd really like to see Crush 2 And also, if they could maybe put in that in-game level editor that Paul talked about in our review also, that would be amazing. That way we can... And that's another thing that's a possibility with maybe if they were to port the game over to Xbox Live Arcade. I think that could open up some really cool possibilities to maybe create your own levels, and then you can share them with your friends online.
That would be a good idea, yeah.
How awesome would that be? You could upload them, and then you could have rankings for your levels, see who can get the most points or who could beat it in the quickest time. There's all kinds of different possibilities with this game. I think this is a game that Sega, if they pushed it the right way and they started putting on different platforms, I think this could be a huge hit for them. And reviewers all over the internet are just raving about this game. And so if it doesn't sell well, it's going to be one of those games that's going to go down, I think, as one of the true shames. I mean, Beyond Good and Evil, you look at that, everyone was disappointed with its sales numbers, and it was a great game. And I think that, I'm afraid to say it, but I think that Crush could, fall in the same line as Beyond Good and Evil. And if that happens, it's going to be pretty sad, I think. So
yeah, this sort of thing upsets me so much, because this game is clearly great. I mean, I haven't heard a single bad thing about this game.
No.
Every review I've read has been good. Everybody who's on our forums, people who've spoken to us, have all said that they love the game and stuff. I haven't heard any bad things about it, and yet it's just not selling. And
yeah.
You've got to think why.
I don't know. I don't know if it's maybe an advertising thing with Sega, if it's marketing. One thing that I've noticed, though, is it seems like Alien Syndrome is getting more hype than Crush has. I've looked through several popular video game magazines just recently, EGM, Game Informer, and things like that, and you'll see Alien Syndrome ads all throughout that. Occasionally you'll see a Crush ad. I haven't seen any commercials, on TV or anything like that, but I know that Sega has an official Alien Syndrome site up that you can get all kinds of photos or screens and videos and all kinds of information on that. They really don't have that for Crush. They have their, standard one that will show you a little bit of information, but they don't have a dedicated site to that. And I'm wondering almost if Sega's pushing the wrong game. If Alien Syndrome is... I don't think Alien Syndrome is going to have that mass appeal to gamers. They're having it on multiple platforms, but I think Crush is the one at the very beginning that they should have looked at and said, this is going to be an amazing game. We shouldn't just keep this on the PSP. Let's port it over to multiple platforms and let's get the biggest bang for our buck, because I guarantee you when it comes down to it, I promise you this, I've seen a lot of videos of Alien Syndrome, and it could be a good game, but overall it's not going to be as good as Crush, in my opinion.
No, definitely not. No, yeah, I agree with you totally on that. I mean, so far Alien Syndrome hasn't really got my attention that much. I think I want to play it, but honestly it just doesn't look that it looks just like the sort of games you get back on the Mega Drive and SNES and stuff,
yes. And I hope it comes out, and I hope it's going to be a good game. I really do.
Yeah,
but I've read extensively. I know all about Alien Syndrome, and I'm not that impressed with what I've seen so far. Gameplay-wise, it seems like, just like there's so many other games out there that's just like it, I can think of several, but it just doesn't do enough for me to make me that excited for it like Crush has. Crush is so different.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's something totally... I mean, implementing 3D and 2D gameplay like that and having it work so well is just something that's just amazing. So it's just going to be a travesty if this game doesn't do better. And I'm very passionate about it, because I think that Zoemo has just done such an amazing thing with it, so we'll see.
Definitely, yeah. I've got one small theory about this whole the marketing thing behind Crush and Alien Syndrome.
Okay, tell me.
Because Sega don't actually own Zoemo.
Right.
I don't think Crush is actually Sega's intellectual property, is it?
That's interesting you brought that up, because I actually talked to one of our Sega representatives. They didn't even know if what the whole deal was with Crush. They didn't know if they owned the rights to Crush or what, and they really didn't know if there was going to be a sequel or anything like that yet. So I'm hoping to get some more information on that, from our Sega person. But that's a good point. I don't know if Sega was just the publisher on it, or what. But I know... I'm sorry, go ahead.
As far as I'm aware, Sega were really just the publisher on it. They might have had some involvement in it, I'm not sure. But the fact that Alien Syndrome is a Alien Syndrome is a Sega-owned intellectual property, isn't it?
Yes.
They actually own the rights to it, okay?
Yeah.
So that's probably why they're trying to push the advertising, because it's their game. It's all their game.
Yeah.
I think that could be something about it, maybe.
I think that you make a good point, but I think as a publisher, I think if they were to do that, that would be very bad on Sega. If they're, because I think if you're a publisher, you should publish every game and give every game the same chance. I know some games are going to, you're going to look at, and they may have a wider appeal, so you'll push that game more. And you're more, I guess, as a publisher, you're more willing to spend the money to do that. But yeah, I see what you're saying. I just think that if that were the case, that Sega made the wrong decision. So
yeah, if that is the case, Sega are being very stupid about it. But okay. I just think that could be a theory that I just come up with.
Speaking of Sega being very stupid, though, we'll transition to the next one. The Sega's vice president of marketing, Mark Steinberg, recently started talking some trash about the Nintendo Wii. He said that he's concerned that the Wii is going to look outdated in a couple of years when you compare it to the 360 and the PS3. And said that he doesn't know if developers are going to be able to continue making innovative games for it. I guess it created a pretty big firestorm around the web.
I know.
If you ever question anything Nintendo related, the fanboys just come out of the caves, you know, throughout everywhere.
this actually annoyed me a lot as well, and I'm more of a Sega guy than a Nintendo guy, obviously, for working for Sega Nerds.
Well, though, he released another statement. And he backtracked on what he said before. He said that it's going to be up to Sega as well as all the rest of the developers, as much as Nintendo, to continue to develop good games and continue to innovate on the Nintendo Wii and make use of the Nintendo Wii's capabilities. So I want to ask you, though, was Steinberg correct in his analysis of the Wii? Do you think he brought up a good point that, hey, look, there's only going to be so many different ways that you can, create different motion sensing, controls in a game. And after a few years, it's going to get very outdated. Graphics-wise, it's going to be outdated. And after a while, people are going to get bored or used to these graphics or these control schemes that they're implementing in the games. Do you think that's correct, or do you think he was totally off base?
I think... in many respects it's correct, but the way he's making it sound like a bad thing, I think in a way it could be quite a good thing.
Okay.
I mean, like, if people are getting used to controls and stuff, that's great, because I personally, for the Wii, I don't find it that much of a gimmick. I find the controls actually really spot on. I've played a few first person shooters on the Wii now. I've played like Red Steel, I've played a bit of Call of Duty 3, Far Cry and stuff. The controls for those games I find completely natural. I find it more natural than playing on the Xbox 360 or PlayStation.
Okay.
Just the way you like move the controls around and stuff. And also with all the other games as well I've played, I don't find it that gimmicky. It makes the games a lot more fun, and in a way it is sort of a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
But overall the controls I find more natural to play with than other games. And if people start to get used to that, and the developers start to... Because admittedly, you can only just there is only a certain amount of things you can really do with the motion sensing. That's the same with all control pads. You can only do like one thing with them, really.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good point.
I reckon the controller will become a standard style controller, really.
You think so?
That's what I think it will be. I'm not saying that all the other consoles will start using motion controls, but it will just be like another controller you could get. That's what I'm saying. That it won't feel like much of a gimmick, but it'll be like a standard style controller that developers can develop for.
Yeah.
In a sense.
No, I hear you. After he said that, I started thinking a little bit about what he said and the Nintendo Wii. And one thing I started kind of wondering is what do you think the lifespan is going to be for the Nintendo Wii? Do you think that Nintendo is going to be able to push this out and make it last for a good 5 years like they're hoping to do? The standard. Do you think they'll be able to do that, or do you think that they're going to have to come out with a new system maybe in 3 to 4 years that can compete a little bit better, on a graphic standpoint with the Xbox and PS3? Because I'm going to tell you, here in the next couple of years, when developers start really ramping up and really get used to developing for the Xbox 360 and the PS3, these games are going to look a lot better. If you look at the first and second generation Xbox and PS2 games compared to like God of War or Halo 2 or some of the other games that were released late in the Xbox lifespan, totally, it's night and day. And the same thing's going to happen with Xbox and PS3. And right now, those games are already blowing the Wii away. And it's just that distance is going to get greater and greater. Do you think that Nintendo's going to be able to keep the Wii out there for about 4 to 5 years, or do you think they're going to have to put out a new system before that?
I think that they can keep it going, personally.
Okay.
This is going to sound like a typical sort of fanboy thing to say, but it's not all about graphics.
Right, okay. No, and I agree to a point.
Yeah. As I said before, I think the Wii is just so much fun to play with, and I think if they can keep the games feeling fresh enough and fun enough still with the Wii controller, I think it's still going to sell lots. It's like take the DS for example. The PlayStation, the PSP obviously blows the DS out of the water graphically, yet the DS is selling more, and it's been going for a good few years now, and it's got no end in sight right now, really. I mean, I could see it going on for a few more years easily, at least. And I think that could be the same with the Wii.
Okay, good point.
And in a way, I actually read this in another article I was reading randomly on the internet today, in fact. And some guy mentioned the fact that when Sega came out with the Genesis to fight against the original Nintendo, the NES,
right.
The NES sales didn't Sega got a good dip in the market. I mean, they started selling quite a lot of systems and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But sales of the NES was still fairly strong, and the NES carried on going for a good, like, 10 years overall.
Yeah.
I mean, that system went on for ages. Mm-hmm. And comparing graphics for the NES to the Genesis, you're obviously going to say the Genesis is a lot better. And that could be the same thing that could happen with this.
Well, I think, the difference between right now, between the NES and the Nintendo Wii, is the software. I think the Nintendo had an amazing library of games, and when you compare that to the Nintendo Wii, it doesn't have those kind of classic and legendary games yet. I mean, what name a game right now on the Nintendo Wii that 5 years from now people are still going to be talking about? You know, I don't think there is one. There's games. The games are fun. They're very fun. But are there any of those games out there that you're going to continue to talk about or continue to go back to years from now? I don't think that they have that right now, and I think...
Well, on a personal standpoint, there are games that I'd definitely go back to still,
okay.
In a few years.
But, okay, do you think that they have those legendary games, though? That they have the Legend of Zelda, the Super Mario, the Metroid, those kind of amazing games that really sold systems... I don't think they have that. But and then do you think that the Nintendo Wii really needs that, though? Do you think that they just need fun and innovative little games like they have right now to continue carrying the cells, so to speak?
Well, right now, as you say, they haven't got those games, but they've got like Mario Galaxy coming out and Metroid and stuff coming out, which hopefully will be these games that you're talking about, the AAA titles that you need.
Yeah.
And so when they come out, hopefully more games similar to that standard will start coming out as well. Mm. So in a way, the console will have those games. And I also think they should keep just doing the little fun, silly games and stuff as well. Like,
That's something that's really impressed me, though, just with the Wii. I'll talk about this real quick. I think from a software standpoint, the Xbox 360 totally blows the Wii out of the water in terms of just better games. I think the Xbox 360, it's been out a year longer, but I think it just has so many better games, yet the Wii is selling so much better right now, and it's really catching up to the 360, and I bet it, you know, possibly by the end of the year, it could have caught up, it may catch up to the Xbox 360 in terms of global sales. So that's something that's interesting. I think that people are just so hyped about it still, and Nintendo's been able to keep that going with a software drought right now. There's just not a whole lot of games that are coming out. And Mario Party 8 came out, and a lot of people said that they think that's the worst Mario Party game yet. I played it. I wasn't...
Really?
Yeah, if you look at a lot of the reviews, a lot of people have been saying that. They haven't been saying that's really that great of a game. It's fun, but... I honestly didn't enjoy it that much, but so yeah. I mean, so we'll see. Basically,
I heard good things about Paper Mario and stuff. Paper Mario.
Yeah, I haven't played that, but is yeah. So that'll just get into another whole topic. Sorry. No, that's okay. So yeah, Mark Steinberg, I think that he finally learned his lesson that he's not going to speak out. And
the thing about this Mark Steinberg thing is that when he in his original statement. Mm-hmm. The way he put it was basically he wasn't so much saying that the developers and stuff haven't got that much good content out on it. He was actually sort of trashing the Wii itself in a way, and I think that's what got people riled up.
Yeah.
And he went on to talk about the PlayStation 3 and say how he actually said we know the PlayStation 3 pool is pretty deep. There's a lot to exploit there and stuff. And he's talking about how great the PlayStation 3 is in comparison, insinuating that Sega wouldn't really want to make much more games for the Wii and want to focus on the PlayStation 3, mm-hmm. which is, as a representative for the company, I think that is completely wrong what he said there. Simply because, in a way, if it could be his own personal opinion, which is fine. I mean, he can have that opinion, mm-hmm. but he's actually in the middle of an interview, and he was a representative for Sega as a whole, and he was basically saying this stuff, which could put the whole of Sega in the wrong light.
Yeah, and someone said on one of the comments on one of the stories, saying that that's kind of putting down some of Sega's upcoming games too. And they're making Mario and Sonic for the Nintendo Wii and the Nintendo DS. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and it was just I didn't understand why he'd say such a thing when they're making such a huge game together with like that. So it just totally came out of the blue.
That's pretty a silly thing to say. I think that's why people are so annoyed, though, because it's like his own personal opinions, but he's speaking on behalf of Sega, really.
Yep, I agree. Okay, moving on. Sega, what's that?
I was just saying, let's move
on. Okay, let's do that. Sega released Sega Presents Touch Darts this week on the Nintendo DS in Europe. I really don't think it's going to get a U.S. release. As far as I know, it's not. I haven't seen any release dates. As far as Sega of America, they have nothing on their website. They have nothing on their media site at all. I've heard nothing from any of the Sega PR representatives on this game. If you look at the IGN review, said that it's going to be unreleased in the U.S. So I think this could possibly be a Europe only release, or maybe they'll take it over to Japan. I don't know if darts is very, very popular in Japan. But
you say that, but I actually read today that apparently Sega owns some darts bars in Japan.
Okay, well.
So where you have a meal and stuff, but we've got loads of darts machines which are all around the whole room or something. So it could go in Japan as well.
All right. Well, maybe they will. But as for the main thing is it may not come to America. So So that there it goes. Graham, you were able to get a review copy of the game. You reviewed it quickly. Can you tell us what you thought of the game?
Yeah.
And explain it.
Sure. Honestly, when this game was being first like shown, the first images and stuff, I thought this game looked terrible. Mm-hmm. It is strangely addictive. It's a lot of fun.
Just looking at the game, I wouldn't think that it's going to be able to keep you playing very long. It seems more of a almost like it's a mini game thrown in of a lot of other games. Darts has never been a game to base an entire game on. In Shenmue, it was just one tiny little mini game. And it's been like that in a lot of other ones, but Sega's rounded an entire video game out of this. So kind of explain that.
The thing about previous darts games, which have been mini games, they've always been pretty crappy. Like in Shenmue, his hand moves around and waves. You've got very little control over where the dart goes, and that makes the game pretty rubbish. But back in the day, that's all you could really do with it. With the touchscreen, it sort of simulates how you would throw a dart.
Okay.
And what you do is you touch the stylus on the screen roughly where you want to throw it, and then you put it back, like drag it down the screen and put it forward and let go of the screen with the stylus.
Right.
And it'll throw the dart, and that sounds terrible. That sounds really awkward. When you're actually playing the game, that feels just amazingly natural to do.
Really.
I can't really describe it, but I'm not a huge darts player, but I've played it a fair bit. I've played it enough to know how you throw a dart, basically.
Right.
And for some reason, when I was doing this, I was just feeling like I was playing darts. And what you're saying about how you don't think you could keep you playing for very long because it's like a mini game sort of
yeah.
thing. That's what I was sort of thinking. I played for the first few rounds and stuff. I thought, oh, that's pretty good. I just finished playing the first like little mini tournament, which is really easy. Got through that in maybe the first hour of playing. And about half an hour later, I was having a craving for the game, basically. I was just suddenly thinking, going, you know what? I'd really like to play some more darts.
Really?
And like I said, I'm not a huge darts fan or anything, but this game has just kept... I've been playing this game for the last few... I only got it yesterday. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Sega kindly sent it to me yesterday, and I got into it, and I haven't really stopped playing it. I mean, there's lots of cool little things. Like, the main tournament mode is pretty good fun. Where basically it's just like standard darts where you're just throwing at the board and stuff, but you get all these little mini games and stuff which have unique stuff on them, like you have to like hit cards on boards and things, which are kind of fun, and the multiplayer is pretty good fun as well. There are a few downfalls to the
yeah
game.
Tell us a little one bit about that.
Okay, one is the AI in the game is a little bit dodgy for the main tournament modes. The first few tournaments you go into, the AI just seems to throw the darts randomly around the board. So their scores are always pretty lame, and you can really start to get... You can get good scores. If you don't know, the basic premise of the game is that you start off with 301 points, and you've got to hit the... When you hit the numbers on the board, you lose those points off your overall total, so you're basically the first to get to zero.
Right.
But your last dart you throw has to be on a double. This is the whole game. So you get three darts each sort of go.
Mm-hmm.
So you throw three darts, they throw three darts. And then when you get down to, say I got down to 6 points.
Yeah.
My last dart I have to throw has to be a double on the outside. So what I could do there is I could throw a double three to get 6 points. And then I could win that round. Or I could make it go down to maybe 4 points by hitting a two and then trying to aim for a double two to get down to... To get the total gone, but if I hit, say, a straight six or anything above, I will lose that round straight away. Basically, well, I won't lose a round; I just lose my go.
Right.
And the six points will stay. So the idea is to basically get down to 0 points.
Hmm.
And so basically, when you start the level, you normally want to try and get as the high points to get rid of all your score to get it down to a fairly low score. And when I do it, I'm always aiming for the 20s and stuff because that's a nice high number. But the AI is always their darts just seem to fly around the board pretty much, like hit ones and threes and maybe the occasional 20 and stuff. They don't seem to have any accurate throwing, and that it just seems a little bit weird that they've the AI is so crap for the first few like tournaments.
Does the difficulty ramp up pretty quickly, and is it set? I guess it did. They set it well to where it ramps up with your the increase in your skill as you progress through the game. Does the difficulty in the AI match up with that?
When you first start playing, you're playing against really rubbish
right.
people. So really, really, I find the first few levels were quite easy.
Mm-hmm.
The first couple of games I played, I wasn't very good because I was just still getting used to the controls. But once you got used to the controls, you can start hitting pretty accurately. And so for the first few tournaments, really, I would say it's too easy. But then it does start to get harder. It gradually gets harder.
Yeah.
I mean, I started to notice that they were getting more accurate with their aiming and stuff. And they weren't... The good thing is they weren't perfect, which is obviously you don't want them to be amazing. But you don't want them to be too rubbish either.
Right.
But yeah, overall, towards the end, as you start to play, when you get after the first few tournaments, the game does start to get more and more interesting. Like, the games start to get tighter and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I really like is the setting. Is when you first start, you start off in your house, like you're just playing with your mate or something,
mm-hmm.
and you play in your garden shed or in your basement or in your bedroom or something. So the settings are all slightly different. Like in your shed, you've got like a wooden background and stuff.
Right.
And then when you move up to the harder tournaments, you're actually playing in pub tournaments, and so like you're actually sort of playing in the pub. You've got like a sort of pub setting and stuff. And there's one thing that you notice is the sound. When you're playing in your house, like if you do a really good throw, you hear the occasional clap in the background, just sort of like, yay, well done.
Yeah.
And then when you're in the pubs, you start to hear the really loud cheering and ooh, ah, and it gets really intense because the background noise is so good, it's so involving, I found. It might start to annoy people after a while, but when I was playing it, I was getting really hyped up about it. Because if you're on the last few darts and you start missing, you hear just...
so some of the background noise then actually does I guess, alter some of the things that you feel when playing the game then?
Yeah, it really got me excited about the game I was playing. I just loved it.
So you ended up giving what'd you end up giving the game?
I gave it a 7 out of 10 in the
okay.
end.
Okay. 70 is not a bad, it's not bad, you know, in any way.
No, it's a good game, that's the thing. It's a really good game, but it has got its flaws. It doesn't have any wireless multiplayer or anything. The multiplayer's all done on one DS, which isn't a bad thing as such.
Right.
It would be nice if you could play against other people on their own DS and stuff, but you don't really need that because you take it in turns anyway.
Right.
It's just as easy as to hand the DS to someone else. But I think it would have been nice to have that feature.
Yeah, especially if you're playing with someone who's just really dirty or who just masturbated.
Yeah.
You don't want them to touch your DS, so yeah.
Yeah, and also there's no music when you're playing the match, the tournaments, but in the menu systems and the mini games, they've got some of the worst music I think I've ever heard in
really?
Game. It's just so.
Do you have that? Can you like listen to it?
Okay, let's see if we can get this to work. Okay, right, let's go.
Yeah. Okay.
And that it just keeps them going on. Like
so it's
that.
Just played on a, like a short loop. Then it's like maybe like five or 6 seconds of music just over and over again. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it's like in the mini games is slightly different music, but
maybe they got some like high school kids to do the music for them. This one part where they didn't have the money in the budget for the.
That is kind of irritating, that music after a while, but yeah. That overall is a good
okay.
game. You'd be surprised at how much fun it is, really.
Would you recommend people? What's the price on it? And would you recommend our people listening to get this game?
The price, I have no idea. I can quickly check.
No, it doesn't matter. But okay, would you recommend the game?
I recommend people to at least try it out if they can.
Would you say it's more of a rental or definitely a buy?
If you sort of like games that you can pick up and play quickly and not have to play for too long, I'd say buy it. But if you're sort of a bit on the edge of it, definitely rent it out. I mean,
okay.
Well, that's just sound advice, really. But
right.
Yeah. I would go out and buy it myself. If I didn't have it already, I would actually go and buy it.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Sega just released or announced today that they're going to be celebrating Sonic's 16th birthday in Phantasy Star Universe. So players who log in and play on June 23rd, they're going to be able to get a free Sonic statue to decorate their rooms with, and also the main area or the center area in PSU is going to be decorated with Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles statues. So I'm really surprised that Sonic's 16 years old already. The little guy's old enough to drive, you know. I can't believe it.
Not over here, he's not. You have to be 17 or 18.
Oh, is that right? Well, Shadow's been driving for a little while now.
How old is he meant to be?
I don't know. I don't think anyone cares.
Never. That's pretty interesting. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a neat little way for Sega to celebrate Sonic's birthday in a way, you know, with the fans in Phantasy Star Universe. I think it's a little eerie, maybe, that they're celebrating a video game character's birthday. But, you know, I think it's fun. They're not making too big a deal about it.
Yeah.
And they're giving people something that they can take back and keep with them in Phantasy Star Universe, and they'll be able to show off to some of their friends. I think that's kind of a cool little thing that they're doing.
Yeah, that's one thing I like about PSU, the way that Sega always does little events and stuff.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a huge big deal, it's pretty cool.
I just wonder how many people are actually going to attend Sonic's birthday. I'd really be interested in seeing what the firm numbers are from Sega. Of course, they're not going to release that, but I would like to see how many people are actually subscribed and how many people are actually playing to pay or paying to play Phantasy Star Universe. That'll be something interesting and something I'd like to see.
Well, I'm still paying to play it, but I haven't paid it for a long time.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I still think I'm going to get back into it, but I just haven't. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you should. This is kind of a late bit of news. Not really news anymore. Sega released Golden Axe and Sonic 2 on the Virtual Console this week. Now, Graham, I know that you're a staunch supporter of the Virtual Console. I'll let you talk about what you think about the games and just overall what you think about Sega releasing them.
Well, I don't know what you want me to say apart from it's a good thing.
You think it's a good thing, really?
I think it's
Okay. You know what? I'll just
that people on the who own Wii's and what on the like the Virtual Console will want to have. They're good titles.
All right. Here's my complaint with this, and people who've been around and listened to the Nerdcast or been around the site anytime will know that I have a huge issue with Sega releasing these classic games that have also been released on the Sega Genesis Collection. And here's my problem with it right here. These games are $8 a piece that you're buying on the Virtual Console. Now, Sega released 28 classic Genesis games on the Sega Genesis Collection. You can get them on the PS2 and the PSP. So there's portable versions and there's a home console version, all right? Now, these games, there's 28 games. If you do the math, that's less than a dollar each for these games, all right? You can get all 28 for less than $28. $20 on the PS2, and I think even the PSP version has gone down to about $20 now, too. So you can get them all for less than $20. Now, if you were to buy all these games on the Nintendo Wii, it's going to cost you well over like $200 to get all these games. It's going to be ridiculous. Now, how is that fair to the consumer? From a business standpoint, I'm sure Sega and Nintendo are loving it, and they're probably laughing all the way to the bank that they're getting gamers to buy these games. But I just think that I just don't see how they can justify doing that, because obviously Sega's shown that these games are worth less than a dollar to them. They think that they can make a profit by putting these games and offering up that cheap. So I just don't see how they can go back and say, okay, now these games that we just priced recently at less than a dollar a piece and bundled them together, but now they're worth $8 a piece.
Right. So my argument against that is, okay, here's the thing. For the Virtual Console, and this is also for Xbox Live Arcade, Nintendo and Microsoft, whoever, for the Virtual Console, Nintendo have to pay for this data to be online, really. They have to pay for the upkeep of their servers and stuff.
Okay.
And they are the ones who set the prices for the games.
Right.
This isn't Sega who's actually setting the prices. As far as I'm aware, I could be wrong, but as far as I'm aware, the 16-bit consoles are all 800 points, aren't they?
No, they're not. The Super Nintendo and the Genesis are 800, but the TurboGrafx-16 is cheaper.
Okay. Is TurboGrafx-16 actually 16-bit?
That's why it's called TurboGrafx-16.
See, I never... the games look terrible. I've always wondered that. They look really bad.
Yeah, that's why it's called TurboGrafx-16. But I think those are, 600 points apiece?
Right,
for those.
Okay.
And that's probably why.
The thing about the PSP as well is the fact that Sega literally just have to whack these games onto a disc. They don't have to pay for the upkeep of the disc or anything. Once it's on there, and they can get the game out, and so they're selling it really well.
But they have to pay for the manufacturing of the disc, though.
I'm sure that's
going to be a cost.
It costs like a dollar or something to manufacture discs, or something stupidly low.
How much do you think it's really going to cost to keep maybe like a... a 1 megabyte ROM file on a Nintendo server for them to download? How much do you think that's going to cost per sale? It's not going to cost anywhere near that.
Well, as far as I'm aware, the upkeep, they have to have the upkeep of the servers and stuff. And also, here's my take on it.
Okay.
I don't think the Virtual Console games are badly priced. I don't think they're too extortionate. I think the Sega Genesis Collection is very well priced. They're very, very cheap games on it, if you get what I mean.
Okay.
I am happy to pay £8 or $8 whatever for a Mega Drive game. I'm more than happy to do that.
How many do you pay in Europe? How many pounds per game?
I think it's £8.
Wow. Okay, so if you do the math, that's roughly $16.
That is just it's standard English pricing and stuff. I mean, we always get gypped like that. If we were to go over every... We pay about $100 for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 games.
Oh my gosh.
that is the equivalent of what we pay, basically.
Oof, okay.
So we're always, that is just the standard.
You guys are getting raped over there.
I know.
You know, we had the Boston Tea Party when we got pissed off. Y'all should have something, the London fucking video game party. Y'all should do something. Something's wrong over there.
In a way, it's good, because every time we go to America or whatever, we can buy things really cheap. We're like, wow.
You bastards. You and your higher valued monetary system blast you. Okay, the one thing I wanted to say to counter one of your points, though, is you said that Nintendo's the one pricing these, and that's probably true. But I think, and this had to have happened, and I don't have any definitive information on this, but I'm very sure that Nintendo got Sega's feedback, and was it NEC the company that is in charge of the TurboGrafx games. I'm very positive that they got feedback from both companies, and they were able to come to an agreement on the pricing of their games. So I really don't think that Sega didn't have any input on what the games are going to be priced. Yes, I think, of course Nintendo's going to have the final say, but Nintendo has definitely worked with these companies to find out a good pricing scheme. And so to put all the blame on Nintendo for pricing these games at this, that high, I think isn't fair, because I guarantee you Sega had a hand to play in this as well.
Well, that's fair enough, I guess. I mean, but I don't see it as a huge thing, though. Like, usually, I mean, like I say, I'm happy to pay £10 for an N64 game. Here's the thing: you don't have to buy every single Genesis Collection game, do you? Though, if they happen to release all the games on it, you don't have to buy all those games.
No, I know, but maybe anyone. The thing is that I think, and that's true. I don't have to do it. Okay, but the thing is that I'm just upset about is that they're not tricking people into buying it, but these people, could go buy two or three games on the Virtual Console, and they could have already bought all the games on the PS2, and I just don't see as a gamer, why you would think that would be a good value, or why that. I mean, if you have, most people have a PS2, go out and buy Sega Genesis Collection, and you have all the games right there. You don't have to go and overpay for these other games. And I do agree with you that I think that the N64 games and to a point the Super Nintendo games are a better value than these other games, because those games have been prior released on compilation, so you can get them elsewhere for a lot cheaper. With Super Nintendo and N64, you can't really get them anywhere unless you want to emulate them on your computer. So I can see going off and buying some of those games, and I've personally bought several Super Nintendo games. But the thing is just that I just don't see, from a consumer standpoint, why anyone would want to do that, and why Sega thinks that it's okay to do that. People can disagree with me, but that's my stance, and I'm sticking to it, damn it. So.
Well, there you go. I still sort of disagree with you.
And I guarantee you, this isn't the last time you've heard from me about this subject. I'm going to keep fighting the good fight.
Well, okay, I see what you're saying, I know what you're getting at, but I still don't think it's too bad. But also,
well, I'd like to say
tell everybody what you did recently regarding the Virtual Console.
I spent quite a bit of money on the Virtual Console this weekend, but I went out and bought a classic controller. And then I bought a few Super Nintendo games over the weekend, but most of the games were actually games that my wife had wanted to play. So I'm always looking to get her involved in playing video games. So I got Donkey Kong Country, I got ActRaiser, I got Punch-Out. What else? Got Punch-Out. I bought a bunch. I probably spent about $50 just over the weekend. The thing is, I didn't buy any Sega games.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is,
how many games do you have? How many games do you have now on your Virtual Console?
Oh, geez. I was looking. I have about 14. And I do have some Sega games. And I don't mind paying and buying some of the classic Sega games that you just can't really find on any compilations, like maybe the Toe Jam and Earl games, the... was it Gunstar Heroes? some of those games, and if they were to bring out Shining Force and some other great Sega games, Batman, maybe some of those that you can't really find anywhere else. But I just don't see why anyone in their right mind would buy games that you can just get far cheaper elsewhere. So that's what I'm saying. I know I've beat this horse, well, yeah, since it's been dead. Yeah. So we'll continue on. That was the newsstand.
I did just want to say one last thing on that.
Okay.
The games I've got on my Sega Mega Drive collection, and I've got one or two games already on my Virtual Console, which I had before I got this collection. I prefer playing them on the Virtual Console. There we go. I don't know why. There's something about the collection thing. I just when I play it, I just can't play it for that long.
You're just, something's wrong with you.
There is.
let's talk a little bit about what we've been playing lately.
Right. Okay.
Tell me some of the games that you've been messing around with this week.
Okay, I've pretty much mentioned most of them already. Like I said, Crush, which we've gone into lots of detail about. Mm-hmm. Also, Touch Darts, a game we've gone into lots of detail about. Tomb Raider Legends is one I've been playing quite a lot. Do you want me to go into more detail about that?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that, because Tomb Raider is a game that I've loved the Tomb Raider franchise. I played the first two games when I was a little kid, or when I was younger. Yeah. I think the franchise, everyone knows, went downhill quite a bit. Do you think that with this game, Legends, it got decent reviews across the board on most of the platforms it was on. What are your thoughts?
To be honest, I haven't actually played. The ones I played are 1, 2, a tiny bit of 3, 4, and Legends. I never played Angel of Darkness or anything like that.
Okay.
And to me, Legends is actually a brilliant game. I'd say it's probably my second favourite now, after the first one.
Really?
From the Tomb Raider 4, they've moved on, and the controls are completely different. Like, you remember how they sort of had awkward controls where you sort of sidestepped and you had to walk and stuff and walk really slowly up to certain tracks.
Like, she was basically like on a grid, and you had to certain. It was like forward, you'd move kind of diagonal, and it was just it was really weird. But so now she has free form of movement then?
Pretty much free form of movement, yeah. Okay. She's pretty much just I don't know if it's just the PSP version, because it's got less buttons than, say, the PlayStation 2, but she didn't have any sidestep or anything. Well, she sort of did. When you're firing, you can sort of sidestep and fire.
So you could strafe.
If you wanted to stand, like, just stand by on a ledge and sidestep along that, you couldn't really do that at all.
Okay.
But the controls are pretty good for it. It's completely free movement and stuff, and now she has targeting. She has a little targeting sight that appears when an enemy comes around.
Okay.
So you can tell if you're shooting an enemy if it's going to hit them, because it'll go red, and if it goes grey, then you can't hit them. But you know the enemy's there, so you can lock on better. You can tell that you're locking on.
Because
I remember one thing that annoyed me about the original Tomb Raiders was that occasionally, it didn't happen all the time, occasionally when you go into a fight with some enemies, you'd be holding down fire and stuff, but she wouldn't have locked on.
Oh, I see.
And you'd just be like firing all your ammo off and then and then just get mauled by a bear or something. Which is pretty annoying. The one thing I noticed about this game, actually, is there seems to be less monsters in it, like less enemies, I found.
Oh, is that right?
You do get the enemies like scattered around the level and stuff, but I remember in like the original Tomb Raider, you get to some levels, you have like five lions against you, and stuff, and, like a gorilla and things like that.
Or Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yes, Tyrannosaurus Rex. And in this, there seems to be very few enemies you take on at once. Most of the enemies you kill are actually humans.
Oh.
Which is a bit different.
Yeah.
And then you get the old wolf and stuff, and you get some sort of monsters and stuff, which are kind of creepy. But there's a lot of emphasis on the sort of puzzle side of things. Like, she does a lot of jumping and swinging, but the jumping and swinging is a lot more refined in this game now, and it's a lot more fun to do.
Yeah.
And the overall settings and stuff, like you said, that they're sort of like, in the original ones, it's sort of like almost a grid type thing, and like, there's a lot of. The levels are sort of squarish, aren't they? Like, the walls are pretty much perfectly flat and things like that.
Yeah.
In the original game. And this, in a way, it's still got that whole sense of the grid type thing, but all the scenery and stuff is now bumpy, and it looks really, really good.
Hmm. You know they're coming out with a remake of the original one on the PS2?
It's already out over here.
Oh, is it? It's probably out over here, too.
Yeah, it's out on the PC, the PlayStation 2. It's coming to the PSP, and it's going to come to the Xbox 360 a bit later.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they confirmed it recently.
Okay.
I was reading an article on CBG.
Well, maybe I'll probably wait till it comes out on the 360. Hopefully it'll be...
Yeah, I'm pretty interested in that.
Well, is it going to be budget priced?
I have no idea.
I have to look into that.
There were rumours that it might come to Xbox Live Arcade instead.
Oh, that would be cool. I would definitely pick it up. I'll talk about a game that I've been playing now, if you don't mind.
I was going to do one last thing.
Okay.
I was going to say, Too Many Legends, great game, but also I've got Guitar Hero 2.
Oh, okay.
Recently.
Great game.
You're going to kill me.
Oh.
I wasn't that impressed by it.
How can you not be?
I enjoy it, but I don't know what it is.
A big reason why is you're probably not very familiar with the songs, are you?
That is one aspect, I guess.
Okay, because those songs are legendary.
Really?
To the Americans, I mean, a lot of those songs are just some of the greatest songs.
There's songs on there that I hear and go, oh, it's this song, I really like it, but to me, I don't know, I think it'd be nicer if you had some more faster Rocky songs, or maybe some Offspring. It doesn't have to all be Offspring-style songs, but I would like to have seen something like that. There's a lot of songs in there, though, I don't know, and I just don't think are that well suited to the game.
You've lost all respect.
Sorry. I enjoy it, though. I do enjoy the game, but... you're going to hate me this. As far as rhythm-based games go, I preferred Donkey Konga on the GameCube.
Well, I've never played Donkey Konga. Aside from a few times, like at demo stations at Toys R Us. But,
I thought Donkey Konga was a lot more fun to play, just the way you're hitting it and slapping it. It just seems very silly and a lot of fun. Although Guitar Hero 2 is a great game. I'm enjoying it, just not as much as I hoped I would.
Really? Well, I gotta say, as far as, from my standpoint, Guitar Hero, I think is one of the greatest party games of all time. I would have huge parties at my house with 20 to 30 of my friends coming over, and we had guys, girls, kids. I mean, it didn't matter. Everyone was getting in on it. They loved it. I actually had people going out and buying the game during the week just so they could practice and then come to my house like on Friday night just to play in our Guitar Hero tournaments. And so we had a huge, huge thing going on, and people loved it. We talked about it all, during the week at work, and it was great. People loved it. So I think it might just be a cultural thing. And, since you guys aren't very familiar with the music, it might not mean as much to you. But as far as us, we kind of grew up listening to a lot of these songs, so they mean a little bit more to us. And it's fun to be able to play along. And actually, in a certain sense, it does feel like you're playing the song, even though you're not playing on a real guitar, of course. So it does give you that sense of accomplishment when you can actually play a song, throughout and complete it. So,
yeah, no, it is fun when you actually get it all right and stuff, and you're doing really well.
What difficulty are you on right now?
I'm still on medium. I'm not actually done that good with guitars. I've got a thing with my fingers; I can't move my bottom two fingers that well with guitars.
Was it like a painful injury when you were a child?
Well, I don't know. I can't remember. I used to actually own a guitar, and when I was learning how to play it, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get the chords right and anything. So that's probably why I'm finding it difficult to play.
Yeah. I was on the original, I got, I beat everything. I was on the hardest difficulty, and I was down to the last two songs, Bark at the Moon and Cowboys from Hell. Couldn't beat those ones. They were insane. So...
Yeah,
but I was able to get everything else, so I was actually pretty decent in my heyday of Guitar Hero. I haven't played it in forever, but yeah, so we'll see.
Well, the thing I find about this is that, I can only play a couple of songs at a time. I can't really play for that long. I don't know, I sort of get a bit annoyed and bored of it after a few songs, and then I have to stop, and then I'll get back into it. I'll be like, oh, God, play Guitar Hero.
Really? Well, we used to play it literally for hours on end. So, and speaking of playing out for hours on end, the game I picked up last week was Viva Pinata on the Nintendo or the Xbox 360. And I gotta say, it's an amazing game. And I brought it home and showed my daughters. I have an 8 and a 6-year-old, and they went nuts over it. They loved the game. They thought it, I mean, of course. I knew that the cartoony characters and the graphics and everything was going to appeal to them. I didn't know necessarily about the gameplay about it. I didn't know if they were going to like it or not. But they sat there and watched me the first night play it, and we went through the game together, and we got all of our little animals and stuff coming to our garden, and we did all that. The next day going to work, they got off for summer, so they're out of school now. So the next day, my oldest daughter asked me if I could set it up for her and just get her going in the game. So I load up the game, and this is on my lunch break. So I load up the game, and I get her playing. I really didn't explain too much of how to play to her because I was in a hurry, so I just had to leave. So I come back home from work. She's still playing the game from the time I left on lunch, like a solid 4.5 to 5 hours. And she's done so much to the garden, and she had gotten me like 60 gamer points between then. Oh, and I was incredibly impressed. So, and she's the one that's actually not, I guess, my hardcore gamer. The big gamer is my youngest daughter, Mackenzie. Me and her played Streets of Rage on the virtual console for a long time. So I did buy that game, Streets of Rage 2. And we played that to death. But Caitlin, my oldest one, I was really surprised. So she's been all into that, literally playing like all weekend long. So they're doing – I kind of left it up to them now. So I think they've kind of stolen the game from me, and I guess it's their game now. So Viva Pinata, yeah, good for the kids. So if you haven't got that yet, definitely pick it up.
That is one of those – sorry, I was just going to say that is one of those games that I've got. I haven't played it a huge amount, but when I do play it, I'll be playing for like 4 hours at a time.
Yeah.
I sort of just get drawn into it, and then it's like, oh, it's nighttime now.
Yeah, it's great.
But yeah.
If you're not familiar with the premise, it's basically you start off with a garden, and you just try to get certain piñatas to come into your garden and live, basically, and you just try to just keep them reproducing, and you try to make them mate with each other, and you try to make the right environment and circumstances for them to live and be happy. And there's a lot of other stuff that goes into it, but that's the down and dirty rundown. But it's just a great game made by Rare. So those people that think that Rare isn't making good games anymore, you're wrong. Viva Pinata is an amazing game.
See, that's another example of a great classic, good original game that hasn't sold that well, because I don't think Viva Pinata actually did that well.
I don't think it did either. I know, I forget his name, the Xbox, Peter Moore. I know he said that he wasn't exactly, I think it was either Peter Moore or Major Nelson, I think it was Major Nelson actually, said that he wasn't really happy with some of the sales of Viva Pinata, and he was kind of surprised by it. So, yeah, and actually, GameStop had it for $30, so it's dropped down quite a bit in price. So I picked it up there. So, yeah, definitely check it out. Another game I've been playing, I downloaded, and I said this a little bit earlier, was Punch Out on the Virtual Console, and me and my daughters have been playing that quite a bit. And one thing I've noticed is my skills in Punch Out have diminished greatly over the years. I remember I was able to get all the way up to Mike Tyson very quickly, not ever losing when I was a kid, but I can't get past Sandman now. He's just kicking my ass. So I'm determined, though. I'm gonna do it. And one thing that was kind of interesting was this isn't Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. It's the original one with Mr. Dream in it. I guess they didn't want to pay Mike Tyson the $50 it probably would have cost to get his license on it, because I'm sure he's willing to do about anything right now, fight bears or eat chickens alive or whatever. That needs money. So yeah, Mike Tyson's not in it. I think it's Mr. Dream is his name. So we'll see on that. That's pretty all I've been playing. I've been playing Crush a lot, and we've already talked quite a bit about that.
There's one thing I just wanted to ask you regarding. Because when I made the review, you hadn't played Crush, no?
Right, no.
Going on my review, when you started playing the game, was the review actually accurate to how the game is?
Yeah, it was. I think when I first read your review, I think it gave everyone a really good understanding of what to expect from the game. Looking back at it, I think you captured it really well. I would say so.
Okay, that's good, because it's one of those hard games to write about, because you just don't know.
Yeah.
It's just
no, I've had those before.
It,
I had so. To when I was blogging for PSP Fanboy, I had to review some really crappy games. One was the Warhammer game for the PSP. It was a card-based game, and it was ridiculous. It took me forever to write the review just because there was so much to do with it, and it was kind of a crappy game. So
I actually remember reading that, yeah.
It was a hard one. So, yeah, I know how you feel. But, yeah, that's what we've been playing. We'll continue to play some more games, and we'll talk about them next week. So that about wraps up our show. We want to go through real quick and talk about a few things. We have some giveaways. But first off, I want to do some feedback that Aki said about our last Nerdcast. Here's what he said. The introduction was very interesting. Also, I'm glad I'm not the only one who was scared shitless by Condemned. Very scary game. You said great episodes, a great episode overall. Call of Cthulhu sounds like an interesting game, and he liked the theme song. He said great work on Glenn, and he said Graham that you're wiping your ass the wrong way, buddy. Maybe that's a British thing. Real quick, the winner of our Condemned contest is Losit. So congratulations to you, my man.
Yeah.
You'll be getting that. We have new forums also, which I'm sure a few of you have noticed. We've gone through a little bit of headaches with that. But basically, we wanted to integrate our blog and forum database together. We wanted to upgrade our forums into a little bit better system, so we use the Simple Machines. Now our blog and forum databases are connected, they're combined, so that means that you only need one user account. You only need to log in at the blog, and then you can just click forums or go there directly, and you'll automatically be logged in. So I think that's really great. Only problem is some of the existing users, we weren't able to transfer their information from the blog over into the forum, so we kind of have to manually do that, and I'm helping them all out right now. Most of them have made the switch already, so I think we're doing good from there. But I think overall, going to a new blog or a forum is definitely the right move.
Yeah, I think the annoying thing about it though is we've lost all our old topics and stuff. I think that's one thing that people are really annoyed about.
I don't think that's really that big of a deal as you think.
Well, I've had some people complain to me about it.
Well, so they can quit complaining, babies. Just kidding. No, I do understand.
It's a sort of a necessary thing.
Yeah, though,
I think we would have liked to transport them across, but we
definitely
really with what we're
okay.
doing.
Okay, yeah. Most definitely. Continue to use our forums. We consolidated them quite a bit, so now we just have a general gaming forum. We have a Sega gaming forum. We have an off-topic one. We have a forum for the Sega Nerdcast specifically, and then we also have one more of just a site feedback if you have any kind of issues with the site. So we just kind of crunched them all down, made it just a little bit easier to get into and just talked. So definitely head to the forums, talk to us around there, and we just kind of hang out there.
Yeah, it's a diet first.
Yeah. One other quick thing I want to say, Graham, is I had the opportunity this week of escorting a lot of Japanese media who were on my base covering a joint American and Japanese Air Self Defense Force exercise that they were doing. A lot of the Japanese F-2 and the E-2Cs came over here to fly along with our F-16 aircraft. So we had a lot of Japanese media and local media, but a few from the New York Times also came. They were from the Tokyo Bureau. And I was talking with this one lady. Her name was Chico. I was telling them that I'm going to be going to Tokyo in September for the Tokyo Game Show. And when I told her that, she got really excited. She said, oh, she was familiar with it. And she told me that she covered Tokyo Game Show last year. And
oh, cool.
She said that she will show us all around Tokyo and take us to Akihabara. And she'll be there at the Tokyo Game Show. So we found someone who's going to give us a great walkthrough of Tokyo. So we have our connection. We're in. So that.
Are we gonna have to stay with her as well?
Maybe you can do that. I'm staying.
You get a free get like a free board and breakfast.
I'll let you work that one, buddy. When we meet her, you'll see.
Yeah. How old is she?
She's probably maybe late 30s, somewhat 40s, something like that.
You know what? We can do that. We can have
yeah,
that.
I'm sure. Like I said, I'll leave that one to you. Last but not least, though, we're going to do our crush giveaway. And Graham, since you have the games, I'm going to let you talk about this one.
Okay. Like Chris just said, we're doing a crush competition, and this week, rather than just giving away one prize, we're going to give away two. We're going to have two separate winners, and what we want to do is, because we've got quite a large user base in Europe and also America that have come visit the site, we want to reward both of you. So we want to give one copy away to European users and one copy away to the US users.
Yep.
So when you guys answer the question that we're going to ask in a second, we want you to post where you come from. So,
oh, that's yeah.
Like just put Europe or America, so that we know. So when we do the draw at the end, we can put the US people in one column and just the Europeans and like choose from that way.
Mm-hmm.
And to enter the competition, all we want you to do is post your idea for a puzzle game and tell us why you think it'd be great. But the thing is, it doesn't have to be the physics of the game and stuff don't have to necessarily be possible, if that makes sense. Like if someone's to develop the game, it doesn't have to be possible to develop the game. It can just be as crazy as you want it. We want some fun, crazy stuff here, guys. Because Crush is a pretty crazy game, pretty inventive, so we want some inventive ideas from you.
And who knows, maybe one day they'll turn into a video game. So
yeah, maybe someone from Sega or Zorimoda listening or watching now.
Yeah.
They can have a look
all
at
right.
it. Yeah. So yeah, when you post, just put down if you come from Europe or the US, and we can get those games out to you when we pick the winners.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right, so that about wraps it up, and we will definitely...
Oh, yeah.
Be here next week. We're going to be a lot more dedicated to the show from now on. So we know we've been saying that, but we really mean it this time. So, all right, guys, I'll see you next week. And if you're outside for longer than 20 minutes, make sure you wear that sunblock. Take it easy.
And toward the wicked way.